They're on, whichever. And he's got another book. It's my personal favorite of all the books he's written, The Unseen Hand. If you haven't read that book, you're missing out on something really special. That's really an encyclopedia on the New World Order. It's, you know, the whole history of how it came about, how they've been working behind the scenes, you know, setting up their little scam here, this global control network. Talks about, you know, the control of the media, the education system. I got a lot of ideas, in fact, from that book when I wrote my own, The New World Disorder. Anyway, he's going to be coming on and talking about something a little different. His argument, well, I'll wait till he comes on and I'll let him sum that up for you. Very interesting, though. I tell you, folks, you got to keep an open mind. We've been lied to about so many things. We can't tenaciously cling to anything, really. We've got to realize that we're dealing with a fraudulent system that has made a career out of lying to us, scamming us. And so we should never be closed-minded to any idea that comes along that is divergent from what we've been told, because you never know. They might actually be right, no matter how convinced you are that you're right and they're wrong. I've learned the hard way over the years not to be closed-minded. You got to be open-minded, because I've found that a lot of unshakable pillars that I had so tenaciously clung to turned out to be a scam. And, you know, it's not a pleasant thing to have to admit you've been wrong, to admit that you've been suckered. But, you know, if you love the truth, you're going to go down the road the truth takes you, regardless how bumpy it might be or unpleasant. So, yeah, let's keep that thought in mind when we talk today with Mr. Epperson. Should be very interesting. And as always, you're welcome to call in if you've got questions or gripes, whatever. 800-313-9443. But before I bring him up, before we he'll be coming up after the next the first break here in a moment. Just want to remind you, we're offering Aaron Russo's DVD, Freedom of Fascism, $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. You can get that by going to republicbroadcasting.org, order through PayPal, or you can send your check or money order in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you're interested in any of my books, I now have five of them uploaded on lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. You can just go there and search for my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and those books will come up. I wanted to mention this real quick, interesting news item that came out yesterday on CBS, or actually it was ABC, I think it was, ABC News. I mean, this is absolutely laughable. The article was about, it had a picture taken by supposedly a Pakistani photographer that was there at a graduation ceremony of Al-Qaeda agents. It shows a whole bunch of turbaned Arabs out in the middle of the desert, or for all we know, on some stage in Langley, and they weren't Arabs at all. Interestingly, you don't see any of their faces. You know, it just shows that from behind. And the background looks like it could very well be some prop, you know, who knows. But anyway, like Al-Qaeda, quote-unquote, if it even existed, like they're really going to have a graduation ceremony. They said it was a significantly large gathering. So I'm assuming hundreds of people, maybe thousands, I don't know. Quite a few people in the picture, though. And they're there to get their graduation certificate. Ah, get out of here. And they're warning that they're poised to come to the United States and all over Europe and engage in terrorist attacks. I hope you're all significantly afraid and will be sleeping under your bed tonight with your teddy bears. What a scam. All right, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with Ralph Epperson.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Cat is going to get you. I hope you're hiding. You know, I just got to laugh. It's so ridiculous, guys. You know, like they're really going to gather outdoors in the open air when there's robotic drones flying around, remote controlled spy planes, satellite surveillance constantly focused all over the desert out there. Like, they're really going to have a graduation ceremony involving hundreds or thousands or whatever of so-called Al-Qaeda. Oh, man, I just cannot believe the ridiculous, fraudulent garbage that they're pawning off on us. Please tell me that nobody is believing this anymore. I would certainly hope not. By the way, before I bring the guest up, they got to mention this, too. I saw surfing the web today that Mr. Mike Moore has come forward and made a statement that he thinks that 9/11, quote, could be an inside job. Now, that's very interesting. It is official. I watched the clip. He did say it. This isn't a rumor. He did say that 9/11 looks to him like it could be an inside job. That's quite interesting. Something to make note of there. They're a very significant development. Anyway, with no further ado, guys, we have Ralph Epperson on here to share with something that he's been working on recently, discovery he's recently made, and I think you'll find it very interesting, whether you agree with him or not. Keep in mind, the Cold War, with hindsight, looking back, obviously was a complete fraud, much like the current war on terrorism. you know, there really wasn't this animosity going on between Washington and Moscow. It was all done for public show, so they could engage in taking away people's rights and invading whatever countries they wanted. You know, Russia got to control Eastern Europe. United States got to control, well, pretty much everywhere else. And it was just a complete scam. But it turns out another aspect of that Cold War may very well have been a scam. In fact, this is something still going on to this day. So with no further ado, let me introduce Ralph, and he can tell you all about that. Welcome to the show, Ralph.
Oh, thank you very much. You're very kind.
Yeah, great to have you on.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I enjoy doing talk shows, especially on a subject like this, because there's, as far as I know, there's no one else saying this. But I'm not only saying it, I'm going to prove it today.
Great.
Well, let's say it this way. You know, I can't prove it for someone else. I can show you the evidence that convinced me that it's right, and you'll have to decide, as I say on my video. I just finished a DVD. In fact, it was just finished yesterday. It's 3 hours long to show all this evidence. I don't know how much longer we're going to talk about you and I, but the video, it's a DVD. It's 3 hours long, and that should convince anyone that there are no nuclear weapons in the world except in the United States. And before you think that's crazy, I will invite you to listen and let me explain, and I'll show you the evidence. And notice what I'm saying, evidence, not theory, not speculation. We're going to show you some evidence.
And, yeah, that is his premise, folks. That's what he's been uncovering recently. That's the focus of today's discussion, that all during the Cold War, and indeed even up to the present time, the only country in possession of nuclear weapons is the United States. Very interesting. I'm ever so curious. This is going to be all new to me, too, as well as the listeners. And like you said, nobody else is talking about this. I can't say I've ever heard anybody else make this claim, so I'm very interested to hear what you got to present. So when did you come to this understanding? Is this something recent?
Oh, no, it's been going on since about 1983, and I'll explain that as we continue.
Oh, I thought this was a more recent...
No. This has been going... Let me try to explain, if I may. I'll explain how I came about this.
You're the only one researching this? Is there nobody else that you know of that's...
Not that I know of, no. Now, I understand there might be, but they've not come forward as far as I know, because if they did, I would have used their material or read it or maybe not even done my own. But I'm convinced that I'm right, and that's why I want to talk about it. That's why I made a DVD.
Sure.
Let me start with this. I'm a graduate of the University of Arizona, and I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just trying to be factual. And I thought I'd been educated, and when I went to California after our college, I'm from Arizona. I was born and raised in Tucson. And after I went to California, I decided I needed to know more about politics. So I joined the Young Republicans, and I met a fellow by the name of Jim, who I didn't know at the time, but we later became good friends. And Jim said to me, Ralph, why are you here? And I said, well, Jim, I'm from Arizona, and I don't know anything about California politics, and I thought I'd study and learn and know how to vote for, you know, which governor and which judge and on which proposition, yes or no. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am, Jim. That's what I'm here for. He said, no, you're not. You're here to read. And I said, Jim, I don't want to read. I just want to learn. And he said, no, you got to learn. He said, you've got to read revisionist history. And I said, well, Jim, what's that? He said, that's my point. You don't know, do you? I said, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that history needs to be revised? And I said, he said, yes. And he gave me a book to read called None Dare Call It Treason. I don't know if you remember. That was one of the first ones published way back in the 60s. And so I read that book. And
that was the sequel. The first one was None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Well, John Stormer wrote the first one, and he called it treason. Gary Allen wrote the book None Dare Call It Conspiracy much later.
Oh, you're kidding. I thought Gary Allen's book came out first.
No. John Stormer wrote the first one called None Dare Call It Treason.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's okay. No, I'm not. He quoted some English sir, Harrington or something, as saying that treason doth never prosper. What's the reason? For if it doth, none dare call it treason. And that's the point. I'm going to show you some treason today as we talk. Because, in fact, I've got a court case that convicted people for doing the same thing that Franklin Roosevelt did. But Franklin Roosevelt was never tried for treason. And we'll talk about why that case was heard and how it fits into what we're discussing. So I started reading and studying, and there was obviously something going on in this country, and I kept reading and kept studying. I was later asked to teach part-time at a community college, and it was a class on free market economics. And during that course, I was teaching that communism was an economic failure. It simply would not work. In fact, it had been tried voluntarily many times in the past. In fact, voluntarily it had been tried, and it never worked. I don't know if you know this or not, but the first Puritans and the Pilgrims tried a voluntary form of communism, where all the property that was produced was put into a common storehouse. And you can read what the results were. The diaries of Captain, I think it was John Smith, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but anyway, the two people in charge wrote diaries or books about it, and they said it didn't work because everyone else said, well, I don't have to work today. I know Charlie's going to work instead. And no one worked. Well, that means there's no production. So when there's no production, there's not much to share. And so here we have so they finally decided to try private property. Everyone was given a piece of land, and when they did that, there was prosperity. And that's the reason we had our first Thanksgiving. They discovered the truth of the free enterprise system. So that's what happened. So here we have in Russia, we have a forced sharing of the property. Everything goes into the common storehouse, and everybody takes out what they need. In accordance with Karl Marx, who wrote, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That system has never worked in the history of the world. People will not produce when they're forced to produce. That's just a truism, and they proved it true. So I remember thinking back in the 70s when I was teaching, wait a minute, Russia claims to have missiles and satellites and rockets going to the moon and atomic bombs. How could that be if it's an economic failure? And then I started learning that America sent them their technology, including the atomic bomb, and I'll prove that a little later. In other words, the reason they have all of this technology is because of good old Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam sends them the stuff they need, whatever they need in war-making technology or missiles or rockets or space or space capsules, wherever it is, it comes from the United States. In other words, communism was a fraud and a hoax, and it's always been a fraud and a hoax. And that's where I started with this thing. Now, you can say, wait a minute, Ralph, everybody knows that North Korea just exploded an atomic bomb, and you're saying that they didn't have one? I said, that's exactly. In fact, I'm not saying it. The United States government said it. Let's go back to 2006, and we'll start with this. North Korea allegedly exploded an atomic bomb, but North Korea admitted that there would be no radioactive leakage. Now, atomic bombs give off radioactivity, but they admitted there was not going to be any. And our spy satellite said they found a big hole that was dug up in North Korea, and it was dug in a manner to look like it was an atomic bomb or underground explosion. So they did two things. They detonated it underground, which means we had no way of knowing what would happen, what it was. And then secondly, they claimed there was no radioactive leakage, meaning the atomic bomb blast would give off radioactivity and sensors around the world could detect it. Well, America couldn't detect it. And they didn't know what it was because it was underground. But they claimed that North Korea claimed that they detonated the bomb. Now, the question is, why would we believe them? There's no evidence that they did. There's no evidence that Russia exploded the atomic bomb in 1949. In my research, I found out that Harry Truman, our president at the time, said he could find no evidence they detonated the atomic bomb, and yet we believed him. He said they don't have the technology to set off an atomic bomb,
right,
but we believed him. Why? Why would we do that? And it's all, and we'll continue as we talk about that, what the reasons for this whole thing is. I'm telling you, there are no nuclear weapons anywhere in the world except in the United States. Now, I'm going to bring in an expert in this field to convince the American people that that there is a conspiracy. I'm going to bring an internationally known expert in. I hear some music there, but anyway.
Yep.
We'll bring this man in to show you that there is a conspiracy, and if anyone knows it, he would know it. We'll talk about that next.
Great. Okay. Be right back, folks. Stick with us.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani, joined by Ralph Epperson today, talking about how the United States, according to his findings, is the only country that has ever had and still the only country that has nuclear weapons. You mentioned an expert, Ralph, before the break. Is this someone that you're talking about bringing on the show today, or someone?
When I say bring him, I'm going to use this man as an authority because he should know. In fact, he's going to prove to us that there is a conspiracy.
Your upcoming DVD?
No. Well, I'm going to use this man's testimony as part of my evidence that there's no nuclear weapons anywhere in the world except... Okay, but before I do that, George, let me go back. I want to cover this. I forgot to mention this. Understand this, if I may. I've read over nearly 1,000 books, titles, on this subject of conspiracy on both sides for over 40 years of my life. I've written 4 books, all of which are bestsellers. They're all over the country. In fact, they're being sold now in foreign nations, something that I had nothing to do with. The publishers over there in European nations called me and asked me if I would be giving them permission to publish my books. I was just on the History Channel last year on a program about the back of the dollar bill.
I saw that, actually. Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people saw that. In fact, I was stunned by the number of people who called me from all over the country said they saw it and enjoyed it. But anyway, the point is this. I've been researching this for 40 years, and I believe I know what I'm talking about. And this I know this is contrary to what we've been taught, but everything that I've been doing for 40 years is contrary to what we've been taught.
Yeah, that's for sure. I do want to have you back on sometime to talk about, you know, Freemasonry, secret societies, and their influence, too, because that's another very important subject.
I'd be happy to do that anytime. Okay, right. Now, so I'm not going to ask your listeners to please be open, just like you're on a jury. And when you're on a jury, you can't come in and then say to the judge, Your Honor, we just looked into the eyes of the defendant, and we're convinced he's guilty. We're going to save the taxpayers money. We'll not have a trial. Just convict him. And the man would say, wait a minute, I have the right to defend myself against the charges. No, you don't. We looked in your eyes. We could see that you're guilty. We don't care what you have to say. That's simply not justice. So I'm going to ask your listeners to be open, and you as well, to let me explain. And then even if I don't do it adequately on this program, watch my three-hour DVD because it's all documented in there. I show you the pictures of the books, the quotes, the photographs that show you that this thing is bogus. So I've been studying this thing. Now, let me bring my expert into this room, because this man convinced me that there is a conspiracy and that he was part of it. And this man was a president of the United States, and his name was Bill Clinton. And you say, wait a minute, when did he do that? Let's go back. Let's go back to the night of July the 16th, 1992, when Bill Clinton gave his acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention. That book, that speech has been reprinted in his book entitled Putting People First. And he wrote that book during the campaign to get people to appreciate the fact that they could read what he and Al Gore were going to do for this country. And so he wrote there, and in the back of the book he has a transcript of his entire speech given the night of July the 16th, 1992. Starts on page 217. And here's what he said. He actually says towards the end, These four sentences here. As a teenager, I heard John Kennedy's summons to citizenship. And then as a student at Georgetown University, I heard that call clarified by a professor I had named Carol Quigley. Now, what does he mean, John Kennedy and Carol Quigley got him into politics? And let's examine that. Bill Clinton was invited to go to a thing called Boys Nation in 1963. He was between his junior and senior year because he graduated from high school in 64. And he went there, and there's been a picture released. It's I found it in U.S. News, I think, of John Kennedy shaking the hand of Bill Clinton in the Rose Garden. So we know that Bill Clinton and John Kennedy met each other during that summer. And it had to be no later than that because, as you know, John Kennedy was later assassinated later that year in November of 1963. Yep. So Bill Clinton met John Kennedy. Now, who's this guy named Carol Quigley? and once we find out who Quigley is, then Bill Clinton's history makes sense. Dr. Carol Quigley was a professor, as Bill Clinton said, that he had at Georgetown. Now, let's go back. Bill Clinton graduated from high school in 1964 and went to Georgetown from 64 to 68, meaning 4 years, and he graduated in 1968. Now, he took a field. His major was foreign service, and so he had Dr. Quigley was his major faculty advisor and, you know, the major teacher in his field. Now, in 1966, Dr. Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope. And I read that book Clinton read it in 66, but I read it in probably about 1972 or 73. It's 1,300 pages long, very boring and tedious, but there are some things in there that are devastating. What's that?
Yeah, definitely. Very revealing.
Okay, now, so let's go back and let's read what Bill Clinton read, because that book was required reading for all of his Bill Clinton students. Quigley students. Now, let's read what he learned. Let's go back to start with. Oh, by the way, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Quigley. Dr. Quigley was a formerly taught at Princeton and Harvard, and he got his Ph.D. from Harvard, and so he was what I call a liberal establishment professor.
Georgetown. Georgetown as well.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Now, that's right. He was teaching at Georgetown. That's where Bill Clinton went to college.
You know what? We're going to take a quick break. We'll pick up from there, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Here on Two Thirds Radio, it's your host Charlie Giuliani. We've got Ralph Epperson on as our guest today. Just before the break, you were talking about Mr. Carol Quigley, giving some background on him.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope, and we know that Bill Clinton read it because Dr. Quigley, it was written in 1966 while Bill Clinton was a student there sometime between his sophomore and junior years. And Dr. Quigley taught him about how he could become president, and Bill Clinton listened and followed it, and as I'll show you, it's exactly what he did. And because he did, he became president of the United States. And Dr. Quigley said this on page 950 of his book, Tragedy and Hope. There does exist and has existed for a generation. Now, he wrote this book in 66, so he means approximately a generation is 4 years, so back to the 20s. So there does exist and has existed an international Anglophile network which operates in the way, to some extent, in the way the radical right believes the Communists act. Now, let me explain. The word Anglophile means primarily English. So he's talking about an English-based conspiracy, but of course there's Americans in it as well, but primarily English. And it says that it operates in the way that we radical right-wingers, as Dr. Quigley called us, believe the Communist Act. And then he went on to say, quote, in fact, this network, which we may identify as the roundtable groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the Communists or any other group, and frequently does so. I know of the operations of this network because I studied it for 20 years. And 20 years would be 1966, maybe, minus 20 is 1946, meaning he got the information right after World War II. But listen to this. He was permitted, according to Quigley, for 2 years in the early 1960s to examine its papers and secret records. Now, that's very intriguing. It's very uncommon, very unusual, to find someone who's an insider claiming that he was made privy to their papers and he's now going to reveal what those papers reveal. That is really very rare. And that's one of the reasons why I read the book, because I said, this has got to be, here's a liberal establishment professor admitting there's a conspiracy. And that's rare. It's usually us that have to dig it out. But this
right.
is,
and, you
go
know,
ahead.
To emphasize how important that book is. He's not a conspiracy theorist. This is what the defenders of this fraud have trouble with, is this guy was not writing as one who was against this New World Order conspiracy. He was for it.
That's correct.
His only aversion was that he thought the public had the right to know what was going on.
In fact, I want to read that. Let me read that to show you that word for word. That's exactly what he said. He quickly wrote, "I have no aversion to it or most of its instruments, but in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown, and I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known." And that's the end of the quote on that page 950. That's only one of many I'd like to bring to, bring to the attention of your listeners. Let's go back with that. What does he mean he has no aversion to it? This conspiracy plans wars and revolutions like you and I plan to do a talk show, and he kills millions of people, and he has no aversion to that. That's really an incredible admission. And by the way, that's why he titled his book Tragedy and Hope. The tragedy is that these men, this conspiracy, remains unknown, but that they are the hope of the world. Can you believe that? That's amazing. Now, let's go back to World War II, because he said he got the information right after World War II.
Right. It's the end justifies the means philosophy.
Yes. Now, here's World War II, which started, as you know, in 19, well, you could argue 38 or 39, 40. I say 41 with Pearl Harbor or whatever, but it started actually before when Hitler invaded parts of Europe. But let's go back to World War II. That war was not only, it was started in 1938 or 41, but it was planned in 1920. Our government planned Pearl Harbor. Our government planned that war. Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, who was at the time the Assistant Secretary of the Navy under Woodrow Wilson, and Winston Churchill both sat down and planned on a second world war maybe 20 years later in the 40s. And this conspiracy financed Adolf Hitler. They financed the Russian Revolution of 1917. This conspiracy causes wars and revolutions, as I just pointed out, like you and I talk about doing a talk show. And they killed 53 million people in World War II. And it was planned. The reason they wanted the war was because the League of Nations had failed. The purpose of World War I was to convince the world that nations cause wars, and if we abolish nationalism, we can get into a utopia where there'll be no more war. Remember, World War I was fought, the war fought to end war or something like that.
War to end all wars, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Baloney.
Yes, but it didn't work. The League of Nations Treaty was signed and brought back to the United States by President Woodrow Wilson, but the Senate refused to ratify it. So The Woodrow Wilson administration, with the assistance of Winston Churchill in England, sat down and planned World War II. And that's exactly what Bill Clinton meant when he said, Dr. Quigley said, "I have no aversion to it," because he wants a world government. So that's what he wants. So therefore, he has no aversion to the killing of 53 million people. Now, if Bill Clinton did not rebuke Dr. Quigley for that kind of abomination, meaning we don't mind killing millions of people to give us what we want, like you pointed out, the ends justify the means. If Bill Clinton didn't rebuke that, that means that Clinton also has no aversion to it.
Right, right.
I say, the first time I used this material, way back in the 80s, I guess, I pointed out that if I had been taught by Dr. Quigley and was going to become president of the United States, I would have said, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I was taught by Dr. Carol Quigley there is a conspiracy, and that this conspiracy plans wars and revolutions like we talk about, you know, doing things, going to a picnic, and I'm going to rebuke them and expose them for the fraud that they are. Clinton never did that. Why? Why? Because he has no aversion to it either. That's the point. Now, let's continue with this power. And by the way, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're going to learn that this conspiracy controls both communism and capitalism, and that's very important for us to understand why there are no nuclear weapons anywhere in the world except in the United States. So this is what Dr. Quigley wrote on page 324. The powers of financial capitalism had another far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled by the central banks of the world. And now this is Ralph Epperson. Our bank, and I'm sure you know this, Charles, I won't say sure, but I presume you know this, our Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a privately owned central bank,
yep,
owned by bankers, and we can't find out who those bankers are.
Total scam.
Yes. So he's talking about the central banks are going to control this system, and that means the Federal Reserve. And by the way, it's not federal, as I just pointed out. I call it what it is. It's a private reserve.
But I like to compare it to grape nuts. No grapes, no nuts, no federal institution, and there's no reserves.
Okay, I'll accept that. Anyway, these central banks are going to act in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and conferences. Now, that's also pertinent because we're going to talk about these secret meetings in another context a little later. He went on, it was this group of people who provided much of the framework and influence which the communist sympathizers and fellow travelers took over in the United States in the 1930s. It must be recognized that the power that these energetic left-wingers exercised. Now, this is Ralph again. Notice he's calling these communists left-wingers. I think that's very revealing because that's what they are. Many people who believe in the left-wing philosophy are in essence espousing communism. They don't even know it, but Dr. Quigley knew it. Okay, so this power was never their own power or communist power, but was ultimately the power of the international financial coterie. Now, what he's saying is that this conspiracy is so powerful, it plans wars, it plans revolutions, it finances and controls communism worldwide, and it controls all the countries of the world. Now, listen, I would like to then introduce you to, I'm sure your listeners maybe know this man, or a little bit about him, but let's talk about Cecil Rhodes, one of the many people that Dr. Quigley named in the book as being one of these conspirators in this Anglophile network. Cecil Rhodes was English, but he went to Africa, and according to Quigley, this is a quote now, Cecil Rhodes feverishly exploited the diamond and gold fields of South Africa and rose to be prime minister of the Cape Colony. And in fact, this is now me, the African nation of Rhodesia was named after Cecil Rhodes, Rhodesia. So now that nation's called South Africa when they turned it over to the black natives in that area. But then Quigley went on. In the middle 1890s, Rhodes had a personal income which was spent so freely for his mysterious purposes. These purposes centered on his desire to bring all the habitable portions of the world under their control. For this purpose, Rhodes left part of his great fortune to found the Rhodes Scholarships at Oxford. So the next question is, where did Bill Clinton go after graduation from Georgetown University in 1968? He went to Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship. And what was he taught there? He was taught the desires, the purposes of Cecil Rhodes, which was to bring the habitable portions of the world under their control. Now, Bill Clinton never renounced the Rhodes Scholarship. In fact, when he came back to the United States and ran for the presidency, after he won, he named Rhodes Scholars that were friends of his at Oxford to various positions in his staff and cabinet. You might remember George Stephanopoulos. I think he was,
oh, yeah.
He was some sort of advisor. I don't know what he did, but he was there, and he was a Rhodes Scholar.
He's still featured on C-SPAN and yes. CNN. I see him from time to time as a commentator.
So now we know why Bill Clinton went to Oxford University. He went there because Quigley encouraged him to go there. And guess what? That's what he said back in 1992. The reason I got into politics was because of this conspiracy Dr. Well, Joe Quigley taught me about.
Here's an interesting quote along that line. This comes from a 1993 edition of The Wanderer. And here's what it said about Clinton in this respect. Clinton told reporters in an interview that Quigley's work, i.e. Tragedy and Hope, centered on the existence of a permanent shadow government of powerful bankers and businessmen and government officials that controls the agenda of our political life from behind the scenes. Clinton spoke in that interview of coming to the conclusion, while still a young man, that it was necessary for him to gain access to the inner circle of this group in order to become part of the decision-making process that shapes our world.
My goodness. Well, I've never heard that quote. That's intriguing.
Yeah.
But it just confirms what we're talking about. In other words, I've got Bill Clinton's own words that he supported this conspiracy, but that's intriguing.
Yeah.
I did not know about that. But anyway...
An email or something, I can send that to you.
Please do. In fact, I want to give my, if anyone wants to correspond with me, if you don't mind, while we're at this point, and you can send it as well. I'd love to see that. I'm Epperson Raw, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. Two P's is in Peter. Epperson Raw, all one word, Epperson, R-A, at AOL.com. Write to me, send it to me. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Okay now. That. We now know that Bill Clinton went to Georgetown because Dr. Quigley said, listen, if you want to become get involved in politics, you've got to go to, first of all, we've got to go back a little bit to Senator William Fulbright. Fulbright was the senator from Arkansas, Clinton's home state, and Clinton acknowledged him as being the man who really pushed him into politics, but he's the one that I believe, Fulbright was the one that urged him to go to Georgetown. Because Fulbright was not only a member, a Rhodes Scholar, but he was also a Council on Foreign Relations member. And so I think that's where the initial push came from. But Bill Clinton didn't mention Fulbright during the speech, only Dr. Quigley. Now, Quigley went on to point out that this international group, this Anglophile network that controls communism, created the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. He said, the American branch, Quigley wrote this, the American branch of this organization has played a very significant role in the history of the United States. So in 1988, Bill Clinton took the next step towards the presidency. He joined the Council on Foreign Relations. So now we know why Quigley led him to politics. That's what he said in 1992. This is the way I draw the analogy. You might remember in the... Wizard of Oz, little Dorothy takes the walk on the yellow brick road and goes to the capital of Oz. And Bill Clinton went on the yellow brick road, meaning the directions pointed out to him by Dr. Quigley. And when he did, he became president of the United States.
Yeah.
So, because the Council on Foreign Relations delivered the election to Bill Clinton, they made sure he was elected. Now, if you want to be, this is a little bit of a break in the thought, but it not really. I want to go back to the election of 1992 because I'm going to try to point out that George Bush, the father, intentionally lost the election of 1992. Now, hear me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just hold on. Let me go back. There's an unwritten rule in politics from state, local, federal, you name it, dog catcher to the president. Never, never, never promise a tax increase. Now, notice Hillary Clinton's talking about she wants to get us all medical insurance, but she'll never tell us it's going to be costly and I'm going to have to raise taxes to do it. She'll never say that.
And, of course, it'll cost us not only financially, but it'll cost us more of our rights and freedoms because they'll have total control over our health.
Yes, but there'll be people voting for it because I don't have medical insurance, and, boy, I want the government to do it. But I'm telling you, she'll never tell us how it's going to be paid for.
Right.
Now, George Bush, the father, knew that rule. How do I know that? You might remember prior to the election of 1992, George Bush made a very popular, very catchy little slogan. Read my lips, no new taxes. You remember that?
Sure.
It became comical. The comics put it all over the media, in their comedy shows and TV shows. Read my lips, they made fun out of it. So it became very commonly known that George Bush was not going to raise taxes in the remaining...
Well, we know where Junior got his propensity to lie from. Hold that thought, my friend, and we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got our guest, Ralph Epperson, on the line. By the way, Ralph, I just sent you an email. I sent you that quote.
Oh, thank you.
Love that waiting for you. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's a landmark statement made by Clinton. very interesting admission. So, yeah, continue on. You were talking
we were talking about the George Bush, the father, intentionally losing the election of 1992 because he was asked to do so. He went back, he made a catchy phrase, read my lips, no new taxes, which means he knew the rule. He was going to seek re-election by not promising a tax increase, and then he raised taxes. Now, why would he do that? That's very strange. I thought I saved the newspaper headlines, but in Tucson, the headline read, George Bush raises taxes. And when he did that, the election was over. It was over. I don't care what he ran, what he promised. It was over. Walter Mondale did the same thing in 1988 against Ronald Reagan, or 82, whenever it was. First thing he did the night of the Democratic National Convention was says, Ronald Reagan talks about taxes, but I'm promising you right now I will raise taxes. The election's over. Goodbye. Thank you very much. And Reagan won. Now, why did George Bush lose the election? They wanted Bill Clinton to be president.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Why would he lose the election? It just so happens that George Bush, the father, was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And so if the Council on Foreign Relations says, listen, we made you president for 4 years, but we want Bill Clinton to be president, that's, oh, okay, very good, I'll do that then. Tell me what to do. Well, we want you to break the rule number one. Oh, no, I can't do that. No one ever does that. No, do it. So he kept, read my lips, no new taxes, and then he raised taxes. The election was over. So now, the reason I bring that to your attention is because the next thing that Bill Clinton talked about, the next thing that Dr. Quigley talked about is the key to this election, and not only that election of 92, but the key to the other elections from that point on. Dr.
Yeah.
Quigley wrote this, quote, the business interests expected to control both political parties equally, indeed some of them intended to contribute to both and allow an alternation of the two parties in public office. That means that we're going to have Democrats for 8 years, then we'll have Republicans for 8 years, then we'll have Democrats for 8 years, and then we'll have Republicans, huh? Well, gee, that sounds like what we've been having since 1920. Now, it's not consistent because, as I say, George Bush was only a one-term president. I think Jimmy Carter was a one-term president.
We had the two terms prior to that of Republicans.
Yes, and that's, I believe that.
I would argue, actually, that he was president for three terms, really, because Reagan was just a public figurehead. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Daddy was behind the scenes pulling the strings. But that's very interesting. And you know, and again, it shows just how rigged this is. It's all staged. You know, the Clinton and Kerry, Clinton and Kerry, the Bush and Kerry debate was such a just obvious fraud. They knew what their roles were. They were playing, you know, it was a stage play. It was all acted out. They weren't really contending. Kerry knew his role was to acquiesce after the fake results came out. I mean, it's just such a joke.
Well, here's the reason I'm bringing it to your attention. And then because all of this, by the way, all fits to understanding that there is, there are no nuclear weapons anywhere in the world except in the United States, and we'll get to that. But this is foundational work. You got to build with this and then build on top of it. This is the foundation.
All right, Ralph, another short break. We'll be right back. We'll pick up from there.